Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning again, everyone. It's the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Christina Greer sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Now let's turn our attention to Long Island, not New Jersey, with MS-13, a ruthless gang with ties to Central America, has been blamed for 17 murders on the island since 2016. President Trump said this about it last month.
MS-13 surged into the country and scoured and just absolutely destroyed so much in front of it.
He and his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, say they're getting rid of MS-13 by deporting immigrants without legal status who are suspected gang members. But for Latino communities on Long Island that are dealing with the violent gang, the crackdown from authorities has also inspired fear. NPR's Joel Rose and WNYC reporter Sarah Gonzalez are reporting a three-part series on MS-13 on Long Island and the effect of the gang and the crackdown on immigrant communities. And Sarah Gonzalez is here with me now to talk about her reporting. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
So, Sarah, we've been hearing about MS-13 from the perspective of the president and attorney general, but in your reporting, what are Long Islanders who live near where these murders are being placed, like, where do they... What are they telling you? Is that a threat from the gang being blown out of proportion or no?
I mean, the reality is that MS-13 is a violent gang, and their weapon of choice when they carry out their violence is a machete. And several people have been macheted to death in Long Island. And so I think just the nature of the violence is enough to make people make it part of the conversation for a long time, because people are not used to seeing people killed in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the victims have been young high school students as well. But when I spoke to the police commissioner in Suffolk County, he said he's actually upset with the media for making it seem as though the town is being terrorized by MS-13. He says that's not the reality. And, you know, when you walk around the neighborhood, it you don't get the sense that people are terrorized by MS-13. There have been brutal murders, but for the most part, you know, Suffolk County is a safe county.
It's a safe county. So let's listen to a short clip from your story that aired yesterday, where three brothers are telling you in Spanish about a time when MS-13 came after them and their friends with machetes.
Sí, tiene demasiadas cicatrices. La mano la tiene mala.
They have gashes on their heads, necks, legs, and arms. Then MS-13 came after the brothers. Five of them showed up at a soccer field in a green Honda with machetes. The brothers ran to their coach, who drove them home.
Con nervios y con miedo.
That's the middle brother. He says they were still shaking when their mom took them to the police station. Okay, so this family, there are three brothers who came to Long Island, who came to the United States from Guatemala at different times over the course of 4 years. All when they were teenagers, they all came alone, and that makes them what the government calls unaccompanied minors. That classification gives them protections that are mandated by Congress. The United States cannot turn away children, minors, who arrive in the United States unless they come from Mexico or Canada. If they don't come from Mexico or Canada, then they cannot turn them away. So these brothers arrive in Long Island. They were fleeing La Mara Salvatrucha, or MS-13, back home. Okay. The MS-13 is an international gang. And when they get to Long Island, the brothers in high school, they say that MS-13 tried to recruit them when they were in high school. The brothers said, no, we don't want to be a part of it. That's what they say. They say their friends also turned them down. And then their friends, two of them, get macheted in the woods by their high school. They survive, but they were hospitalized. They had surgeries. They're covered in machete gashes. One of the friends says, oh, it was that guy, who we're not naming, he did it. He's the one who macheted me in the woods. Then that guy shows up at a soccer field where two of the brothers are playing with other MS-13 members and machetes in a green Honda, and they chase the brothers. Mm-hmm. The brothers run home with their soccer coach. The mom takes them to the police station. The police in Suffolk County give them what is essentially a panic button. It's a box that looks like a toolbox. It has an antenna on it. It says property of Suffolk County Police, alarm number XXX. And it comes with a remote that has one button on it. And The police told them, push this button if MS-13 ever shows up at your house trying to kill you again. The family is super grateful to the police for giving them this panic button. And then sometime later, the family is now suspected of being MS-13 members themselves. So one of the brothers appeared on a list that appears to be kept by the Suffolk County Police Department that he is now a suspected MS-13 member. Two of the brothers were suspended from high school for wearing clothes that the school and police consider gang affiliated. Mm-hmm. We could talk about gang identification laws also if you want. Right. So these brothers, they kind of represent what there's a lot of unaccompanied minors who are kind of stuck in this place where they fled the gang. They come to the United States. They're still being terrorized by the gang. And now the police are accusing them of also being
being in the gang. So listeners, in case you've just joined us, I'm Christina Greer filling in with Brian Lehrer, and I'm talking to WNYC's Sarah Gonzalez about the violent gang MS-13 on Long Island and its effect on immigrants in their communities and high schools in Suffolk County. Long Islanders especially, give us a call to talk about what you're seeing and hearing in your neighborhoods and what you're thinking as you're listening to this. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So Sarah, you're essentially saying these poor brothers are being targeted not just by a gang, but also now in many ways being targeted by ICE agents, police officers, members of their high school administration, just because there is an assumption now that these boys are in the gang. And so they're actually not in the gang, though. Can you unpack that just a little?
Right. So they say they're not in the gang. They haven't been arrested. They're not in an immigration detention center. They don't have any kind of open criminal case. They haven't been charged or accused of committing any crimes. They say that they're not part of the gang. The mom is really concerned. She says, I don't understand how my whole family can go to the police for help identify the person who chased them. That person is now in jail, and then be accused of being part of MS-13. One of the brothers is a legal permanent resident, so he'll have to be actually charged with the crime in order to face deportation. Two of them are still that unaccompanied minor status, so they really can be removed without ever having to be charged with a crime, essentially.
Can you talk a bit more then about the history of MS-13 on Long Island? Why is it even there? And really, what differentiates MS-13 there from other gangs?
So MS-13 is now an international gang. It started out in Los Angeles, and it was basically when kids from El Salvador were arriving in Los Angeles. There was already a gang scene in Los Angeles with like the Bloods and the Crips and the Mexican gangs. And Salvadorian young people were hanging out with each other. They were kind of like rocker kids. They wore black and went to rock concerts and listened to Metallica, and they started using the when you put up
the bullhorn
thing, which is like rock symbol.
Uh-huh.
That is MS-13's symbol still today, and it stems originally from when they just were rockers. And then they were kind of engaging in behavior that young people engage in, like stealing alcohol or stealing things, drinking alcohol. They ended up going to juvenile.
What young kids of all racial and ethnic groups?
The Salvadorian MS-13, which wasn't called MS-13 at the time. Mm-hmm. They go to they enter the juvenile justice system, and when they come out, they sort of adopt the same kind of characteristics of a traditional gang. Mm-hmm. Then they become very violent over many, many years. They get deported to El Salvador. They make their way back, and then slowly MS-13 has been making its way everywhere. MS-13 on the West Coast is more sophisticated than MS-13 on the East Coast. On the East Coast, they're not engaging in money-generating crimes like drug trafficking. Mm-hmm. For the most part, they're just committing crimes just for the sake of committing crimes, because MS-13's whole thing is that they want to be perceived as the most violent, vicious gang out there. So they're killing people and threatening people just so that they can maintain that status as the most violent.
So many of our listeners may not realize that quite a few people from that wave of unaccompanied minors who came to the United States from Central America a few years ago eventually settled on Long Island. Do you know how many there are in general, and how are they doing? I mean, I'm pretty sure we know that the vast majority are not in gangs, even if the president would like us to believe that. But where are these children and what are they up to?
Yeah, so there are about 8,000 unaccompanied children have settled on Long Island in recent years and in Suffolk County. And Suffolk County has, according to police, they have about 400 suspected or confirmed MS-13 members that are currently out on the street.
Okay.
So 400 suspected MS-13 members compared to 8,000 unaccompanied minors. And of course, many of the suspected MS-13 members are also adults and legal permanent residents and U.S. citizens. So it's a very small number. There is nationally, federal officials counted. So the White House, Trump says that he's made many statements. Congressman Peter King has made many statements. They basically say that unaccompanied children are bringing MS-13 with them and causing all of the problems here. But when the numbers just don't really back that up, federal officials counted that 56 unaccompanied minors have been confirmed or suspected MS-13 members, and that's out of like 250,000 unaccompanied minors mm-hmm. that have entered the United States. So it's less than 1% mm-hmm. of the unaccompanied minors are suspected or confirmed MS-13 members. But let's talk about the suspected or confirmed. Okay.
Before we get into that, let's take a caller because Stephen from West Islip, who's in Suffolk County, has a question. Stephen, welcome to WNYC.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Hi, yeah, so I'm a social worker here on Long Island, and I've been hearing about the MS-13 gang activities for quite a while. I think only now is it becoming sort of a national dialogue for vested interest agenda purposes. But one of the things that I think is being missing in the sort of national dialogue is sort of the social and community vacuums that are being created for a lot of the individuals that are coming here that have them turn towards gang life in the first place. And so often we just criminalize gang members and, you know, say that they're horrible individuals. But I think one of the questions that are missing is, what is turning individuals towards gang life in the first place? And are those issues in socially and communally being addressed on sort of the larger stage of the nation?
Thank you, Stephen. So, I mean, I guess, does Stephen have a point? And we know that the police reports have said something similar, which is that MS-13 is targeting unaccompanied minors to join the gang and that they're in a vulnerable position as recent immigrants and without a social safety network and a family support system. And also because they're the new kids in town and they might be convinced to join.
There's a couple of things. One is that they are recent immigrants. They don't speak the language and they don't have parents here. They came here by themselves. A lot of them don't have family members here. And so they're vulnerable in that way. Another way that they're vulnerable, though, is just that MS-13, if they try to recruit you and you say no, you are now a target, like the three brothers who were chased by machetes and their friends who were attacked by machetes. And so just the sheer fear is enough to maybe convince a young person to join the gang. And one of the things that when I spoke to Homeland Security Investigations in New York, I asked them, you know, do you make a distinction between young people who are terrorized by the gang and join just because they don't want to get killed and haven't actually done anything, they haven't committed any crime? And he said, no, we don't make a distinction. If you claim MS-13, you're treated like any MS-13 member, even if you've never committed a crime, because being in a gang is not a crime. You cannot be arrested for being in a gang. You have to commit a crime. And he said, you know, some of the young people who have been terrorized by MS-13 become the victim, become as vicious as the people that used to terrorize them. But I want to...
I think that point is well taken, but I want to get some callers just because people really have some thoughts on this great report that you're working on. In case you all are just joining us, I'm Christina Greer filling in for Brian Lehrer, and I'm talking to Sarah Gonzalez, a WNYC reporter who's doing a great story on MS-13 in Long Island. Let's take the call from Ryan. Ryan from Babylon, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi there. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say, I used to live in North Bayshore area, which is pretty heavy populated with MS, and I've had a lot of friends who are either attacked, shot, or a few actually murdered by MS, and the police in the area, in the 3rd Precinct especially, I feel are just totally not capable of dealing with the threat, because many of whom don't even speak the language. They don't speak Spanish. they don't really, in my opinion, care because it's not their neighborhood that's being terrorized. So I really don't think the police response is going to be very effective. I think now that they're in a national spotlight with the federal government coming down on them, of course, they're going to play it off as if they're capable and they're going to try and do the best they can. But I just, from what I've seen over the past few years, I just don't feel confident. When I lived in that neighborhood, in a year's time, there was 12 shootings, most of them murders, and not one of them was solved. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's just, it's totally, their whole efforts are just totally useless.
Okay, thank you.
And I really want to see what the response is now that they're on the national stage.
Right, yeah. So, thank you, Ryan. So, Sarah, you know, Ryan's making this argument that, you know, essentially there's no help out there. I know you interviewed the police commissioner. What did he have to say?
So, I mean, the federal agents are helping local police in Suffolk County. They work together as well as immigration. I think one of the things that we focused on in our reporting was that gang ID laws are really kind of tricky, right? When we ask the police, like, how do you label someone an MS-13 member? What do they have to do? They said, well, we can't disclose how we identify gang members because that would compromise our ability to identify gang members because mm-hmm. then they'll change it up. So I asked young people who've been accused of being MS-13 members who are in detention centers, who went to court, who've been suspended from school. I asked them, what did you get suspended for? What did you get picked up for? And it's here are some of the things. In school, young people who are Latino are told that they cannot wear Versace belts, anything with a Chicago Bulls logo or Chicago Bulls jersey or hat on it, anything with Marilyn Monroe on it, Nike Cortez shoes, and then this low, kind of low budget clothing brand called Aeropostale, which everyone in my high school used to wear. All of those things, right. You know, the right. Yes. All of those things are considered gang related. And so students have been suspended from school for wearing a shirt that has a Chicago Bulls logo on it because they consider it gang affiliated. And what we found is that school suspensions, things that happen in school, is ending up in the hands of police officers and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So I went to immigration court. I saw documents from Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And when they accuse someone of being an MS-13 member, repeatedly, things that can only be obtained within school walls are ending up in their documents. So some students, so immigration said for one student, they said she was observed at Brentwood High School with other confirmed MS-13 members. That was her pattern of criminal gang activity. She got picked up by immigration, spent a month and a half in the immigration wing of a county jail in New Jersey, went to court with the chain around her waist, chain around mm-hmm. her ankles, handcuffed at her wrist. And eventually the judge said, yeah, this is a serious accusation, but I imagine there are MS-13 members at her school, and simply speaking to them cannot be enough for me to consider her a gang member. There was another case.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm sure the cases go on and on, but I mean, can you talk to us a little bit more about this relationship, though, it seems, between schools and police? Because it seems as though school officials are providing quite a bit of information about their students. Is it strange that they're working so closely with police? I mean, some of these crimes, these fashion crimes that you're talking about, you know, don't necessarily seem as though the police should be involved, or should they, right, if they are documented gang offenses? Can you talk a little bit more about that relationship?
So there is a police officer, a Suffolk County police officer, essentially stationed inside the public schools in the area. So the school officials told me, we don't share student information with anyone, including police officers, because we're not allowed to. There's federal privacy laws that protect student discipline records. So schools cannot tell anyone when a student is suspended, except the parents. And yet school suspensions were ending up in these documents. It said the school resource officer stated that X student was suspended multiple times for flaunting MS-13 colors, for example. That was among the evidence. Police say we're police officers first. You know, mm-hmm. if we see things when we're on a school campus, and if we think that something is gang related, you know, they're police officers first and foremost. And so they take that into account. And when I said, is this information sharing appropriate? The police said, it is appropriate.
So in case you all are just joining us, I'm Christina Greer filling in for Brian Lehrer, and I'm speaking to Sarah Gonzalez, who has a three-part series on WNYC about the MS-13 gang in Long Island. And I want to play a clip of a lawyer you talked to named Brian Johnson, who has dozens of clients who essentially are going through many of the scenarios that you just described. Let's take a listen.
None of them have been convicted of crimes. Keep that in mind. They have no criminal history. They never hurt anyone. They are from Central America, and this administration is hunting them in the false name of public safety.
Hunting them?
Yes. They're going after these kids. Every week, it's like another child has been arrested by ICE.
So, Sarah, this lawyer thinks it's pretty clear, right? I mean, his links are pretty clear to the Trump administration. And he's saying that this has mainly been happening since President Trump took office. Is that the case, or was this also happening under the Obama administration as well?
Right. So this lawyer is an immigration lawyer. He's not a criminal lawyer. He's not a criminal defense lawyer. He doesn't defend people who have been convicted or accused of crimes. So he only handles immigration cases, and he's been doing it for a while. And he said that he's never had unaccompanied children. I mean, when unaccompanied children get here, the United States government places them somewhere in the country. They have to. They have to place them somewhere in the country. And now those kids are being picked up again by immigration, accused of being MS-13 members. And he says that that only started happening with his clients in June. Now, in May is when the United States government launched Operation Matador. It's basically Homeland Security's operation to eradicate MS-13 on Long Island, and it's a play on a bullfight, Operation Matador, the bullhorns, MS-13, it's their symbol, and the final stage of a bullfight is when the matador comes in to take out the bull, and that's what the operation is. And so this is all, you know, according to the lawyer, this started happening in June.
So, can you explain a few more particulars of these cases? Because you mentioned that being in a gang is not a crime. So why are these federal immigration authorities even involved as opposed to just the Suffolk County Police? I mean, so what's the legal status of some of these kids who came here in this wave of unaccompanied minors fleeing violence in Central America? Some are in varying statuses. So why is ICE even involved in this if it could just be a local police issue for some that are documented and possibly in this gang?
Right. So being in a gang is not a crime. Police, when they suspect someone is an MS-13 member, they essentially have to wait for that person to commit a crime or to be accused of committing a crime. So what they do is they've created a list of people that they think are MS-13 members, and they assign police officers to follow all of those people and wait for them to commit any offense, any petty offense, driving without a license, fighting in a soccer field. And then when they commit this petty offense or big offense, they're there, they apprehend the person, and now they can charge them with something that opens up the whole wave of immigration comes in. When those people never commit anything, if they're not doing anything that the police can arrest them over, police say that they do call immigration agents when they suspect an undocumented person is a gang member. They don't call immigration agents for, you know, undocumented people who haven't been accused of crime. So when they suspect one is a gang member, they said that they do call immigration because immigration can pick them up just for being undocumented. They don't have to be charged or accused of committing any crime. So it's kind of a tool that they use. And I will say, sometimes they're right. There have been young people who have done things in school that do turn out to be MS-13 members.
So, and we should be clear, MS-13 is brutal, right? I mean, this group has been linked to 17 murders since last year, which is about a third of the total homicides in Suffolk County. Teenagers have been killed by machetes and baseball bats. So it's clearly a violent gang. I want to hear from Jennifer from Ronkonkoma, who might have some thoughts on this. Jennifer, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Great. I just been following this report with Sarah and find it very interesting because of my proximity to Brentwood. And I wanted to know if there was any outreach currently to the community as to well, the community that live amongst the MS-13 gang members as to why they're not, or if they are, more active in basically dropping the dime on these people. I don't, was there any angle in your report that touches upon the community's concern that live amongst these people? I mean, I understand the angle within the school, and it's, that's the focus, but does there, the community that live amongst them have any involvement in trying to eradicate them?
So, Sarah, before you answer, thank you, Jennifer, for calling in. Before you answer, Jennifer, I want to take Margarita from Brentwood, because I think both of them are saying similar things. Margarita, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you. I'm calling because I do live in the Brentwood community area, and as the lady was just saying, I am part of the community. I've been here. I was here all my life, so I've seen the community change from where it is today. It's a wonderful community, but the problem, and I also work in the school district, the problem is that a lot of these young kids that are coming in, and I know the person who's speaking is saying that a lot of these kids that go to the high school, that they're, you know, they're being accused of all these things. When you live in the actual community and your children go to school, as parents, as community people, we worry about them. The children don't say anything because they have fear. And I think that what the police are doing, they're giving more security for us in the community because they're on a watch. I'm constantly seeing police around. I'm constantly seeing like there's the 7-Elevens, all these areas where a lot of these different people, not the gang, but other people that have come from all over, hang out. So when you go to the 7-Eleven at night, you have to fear sometime. But I think the police, and they're doing a wonderful job. And if they feel that in the school that somebody might be in contact with the MS-13, of course they're going to show it. No, we're not.
Right.
But by them checking and really thoroughly. I'm very familiar with one of the young girls that was killed in the community.
You were mentioning that. Thank you, Margarita, because I want to get you back in here before we have to leave. So there are clearly many people on Long Island who are pretty happy with this crackdown. So what have you seen in some of your reporting with that?
Yeah, I mean, and even the immigrant families in our stories are also happy with the crackdown. Like, they're also being terrorized by MS-13. And so they appreciate the police presence.
Which further complicates the narrative.
I mean, yeah, just because they're immigrants doesn't mean that they're not appreciative of the police activity. And the police acknowledges that. The police commissioner told me, you know, what this does is it brings the community, it makes them trust us more, it makes them come to us more because they are helping. I mean, they gave the family that they gave the panic button to, that family is really grateful. And they are a family with mixed status, unaccompanied minors. But yeah, I mean, what happens within school walls? I think if someone commits a crime or is engaging in gang behavior or activity, I think everyone agrees that that should be brought to the attention of someone. The issue is some of the evidence appears to be flimsy. It's not holding up in court. Judges are saying over and over again at various immigration court cases that I went to, this is a really serious accusation, but where's the evidence? You need to back it up. And the ACLU has since filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration, against Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the Office of Refugee Resettlement, saying that young people are being illegally detained based on unsubstantiated evidence that they are gang members.
Wow. Well, tomorrow's story is the last in the series, which you report with NPR's Joel Rose, and you all will be addressing gang ID laws. So please make sure you all tune in. So unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there for today. My guest has been WNYC reporter Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah's been reporting on MS-13 on Long Island with NPR's Joel Rose. Their three-part series is airing this week on Morning Edition, and we'll link to the stories on our website at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Sarah, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.